Tell us then about the first reconnaissance patrol in combat.
See, at this time, platoons usually had a lieutenant, but we always were short of lieutenants, so I was the platoon sergeant, so I was the leader almost all the time. We had practiced a lot reconnaissance patrols and that, but we'd never been on an actual one. And when we got up there to work with the 6th Infantry for a while, the battalion commander of the 6th Infantry, I reported to him, and he looked on the map, and he said, I want you to go out on a patrol tonight, and I want you to penetrate as far as you can and see if you could tell us what's going on up there, because there's a change of venue going on, and we want to know if you could tell whether the Italians are moving in and the Germans are moving out, or whether it's the other way. That was our job. He says, you'd send a patrol out. So I went back to the platoon, and I'm looking at these guys. I'm saying to myself, hey, if I don't lead this patrol, it ain't going to go, because it's the first one. So I picked three other guys to go with me. One of them named Cermak, and he was a cousin of Cermak, who was then the mayor of Chicago, Cermak. He was quite a guy and good fighter. So two of us, we paired, and then the other two guys were along this to more or less follow us and to get back if we got knocked out. So we went on. We ran across a German outpost, and we went by it because we were not supposed to fight, penetrate first. So we penetrated past this outpost and got up close enough that we could hear the voices. Actually, we could discern that the Italians were moving in and the Germans were actually withdrawing from that particular position. After we figured out that this was what was going to happen, we had to start back. And the doggone German outpost that was there was in the way then, because we couldn't get around it and we only had a time limit to get back without being fired on. We looked at each other, to Cermak and I, and we said, well, we got to take this outpost out. We had our trench knives, and that's the only thing we could use. We're supposed to be silent. I looked at the trench knife, and we had just turned in our World War I trench knives because they had brass knuckles and a spike on it. The Geneva Convention said we couldn't use those because they had brass knuckles and a spike, but we could use the knife, but we couldn't use the spike or the knuckles. So we had to turn those in, and then we got new trench knives without brass knuckles or spikes. So there was only one thing we could do, is kill them with a knife. So we each took one of the guys and...
Wait a minute now. You said to one of the guys. You came upon a couple of Germans, did you?
Yeah, there was four of them, but two were on guard and two were awake, apparently, because we couldn't see the other two, but the two were standing up and we could see them. And we knew we had to do this silently and take them out. So that was the deal we had. So he took one, I took one, and we got him at the same time from the back, praying that it work. It did. You know, during that point, though, scared is gone. All that's left there is, this has got to be done. And so did it. I can remember after we killed those two guys and we moved on past a little ways, we dropped down and I looked at old Cermak and I says, you know what? I says, I said a prayer before I killed that bastard. And he says, well, I did the same thing. It was...
What was your prayer?
Dear God, help me kill this guy. That was the prayer, you know? Let me get through this. But it was the only guy I had to kill with a knife. After that, I'd kill him with a bullet. But not.
So that was the first one you
that
killed?
That was the first one I actually know I did in.
And how did that make you feel that you had done this?
You know what? The feeling disappeared pretty quick because we knew that there's going to have to be a lot more before it was over. We knew that.
And it was either them or you.
That's it. It had to be. So when I got back to the colonel and I told him what happened, he says, you led the patrol? And I says, yes, sir. He says, well, how come you did? I says, sir, General Patton says you pull spaghetti, you don't push it. He says, well, I remember that. He put me in for a Legion of Merit at that time, which was not a decoration for combat. The Bronze Star replaced it later, and so a later year I got the Bronze Star for North Africa. The next morning, we attacked the position, and it was the Italians in there, and most of them gave up right away. I was able to carry any weapon I wanted, so I always picked a Tommy gun, because if I'm going to be in front, I'm going to have something that really knocks people down. I can remember one of those guys come out of the foxhole and his hands were up and I couldn't tell whether he was going to fire or anything. It was half dark. So I shot him. But it turned out he didn't have anything in his hand he was trying to give up. But, I didn't know that. We had practiced taking a hill the night before, fixed bayonets and that, and some of the guys were sticking each other or making a mess out of this thing. So he said, okay, you don't fix bayonets. You have your rifles set to fire, and only one man in front, and he has the weapon that he's going to do the firing until they find out what's going on up there. So that's how come I had the Tommy gun and was doing that.
I suppose I'm asking questions that those of us who've never been in war ask, but the man who put up his hand and wanted to surrender, did that bother you later on?
No, it didn't. So many things like that were to happen, and it just didn't.
It's part of war.
It was war, yeah.